Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You think you got the best of me? Think you've had the last laugh? Bet you think that everything good is gone? Think you left me broken down?
A trail of deadly destruction from Florida through the Carolinas. The death toll from Hurricane Helene now topping 85, with over a million people still without power across the southeast. The latest on the desperate search for hundreds still missing.
Yeah, we really don't even know. Like, we don't know how many people are missing. We know there's a lot of people that we haven't been able to find and connect with yet. But hundreds into maybe 1,000 on top of the maybe 100 people who have been killed already. And of course, that includes a handful of deaths in Florida and Georgia. But the real devastation has, of course, been North Carolina. And we were talking just before the break about, you know, what's happened there a little bit and, when they're likely to get the roads back open. In case you just haven't kind of been paying attention to this over the weekend, this has been, you know, all the news everywhere is that, you know, I-26 is closed. I-40 is closed. Like, you just can't get there from here. We're talking about, maybe 40 stretch of the interstate is closed. Not to mention all the other roads, small roads, you know, bridges washed out, halves of the interstate taken down by the water. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Like, you can't get between Knoxville and Charlotte. It's just like there's no roads. They're either impassable or they're blown out or whatever. And, you know, when will the roads be reopened? And I was doing I was just kind of looking. You know, Google Maps is kind of amazing, some of the stuff that you can get off there. And, for example, okay, I pulled up the Google Map and I zoomed in a little bit and just to kind of look at some of these. And where was I just? Oh, that's not the one I was looking at. So there's quite a range on all of these roads when they're expecting them to be reopened. For example, on Highway 26, I think it is the one I had pulled up a minute ago. Is that it? Yeah. Oh, no, that's been changed. Really? They must have just updated it this morning. I swear, I looked this up just like 20 minutes ago, right in the break, 10 minutes ago, and it was saying that I-26, the one of the primary arteries that goes in, that was going to be, and this is by like Irwin, which is north of Ashland, that was going to be reopened at 8 a.m. today. It now says December.
Do what? Did you just say December?
Yeah. It just says December of 2024.
Wow.
If you look at all these different ones, they're all different ones. Like, for example, there's a lesser road, but it looks fairly significant, 19E, and that one looks like they're going to reopen at midnight, they're saying. But, but that could change, I mean, based on what I just experienced just looking up for one of them. And then I was kind of curious, obviously, because this whole area has been devastated, like, if you're – I had one of my cousins went to school in Montreat, and the road that goes, the part by Montreat that's east of Asheville, that is, I-40 there is closed until October 1st. Okay, so that's tomorrow, okay, which is sort of good news, and that's what you've got all along that stretch to the east. That looks like October 1st is what they're saying anyway on Google Maps, so that's very good by comparison. But then when you get into some of the other roads, like the roads right by downtown in Asheville, like by the Biltmore, they're saying closed until 5 p.m. tonight, October 1st on a couple of these. But then when you go west of town and you go between there and Knoxville to the west, and you look at this big old stretch of I-40 that goes up through the mountains to the west through the Cherokee National Forest, that's saying it's going to be closed until September of 2025.
Wait, 2025?
I'm just saying what the Google Maps is saying this morning is that the expected reopening of the stretch of I-40 that goes from like Iron Duff up through like Wilton Springs, kind of that vicinity, which I'm just telling you the names. I don't expect you to know, but through the Cattolucci Forest, okay? A year. They think it's going to be a year to get that reopened.
Wow.
Other smaller roads, like the workaround to that, If you're kind of trying to go from Knoxville over to Asheville, okay, you're not going to be able to take I-40 for a year, is what this is saying. The workaround is a state road 441. They're saying that's going to be closed till October 7th, so that would be next Monday, if they can get that open. But other than that, you know, how do you get there from here? Well, you there is no October 31st for US 19, which is a northern, like, this is unbelievable, the level of damage. And if that's what they're saying, is that these things aren't going to be open for that long, it's... Because, again, it's, you know, how do you wrap your brain around... These are mountain towns. You know, ski resorts. You know, they're not accustomed to flooding like this. But when you get 30 inches of rain, 24 to 30 inches of rain, you know, a lot of bad places got 15 or 16. 30 inches of rain. You know, in the flood of 2014, I think we had 24 inches at the airport was the highest rain mark. And that was like one fairly isolated little part. And a lot of rain around the area, right? But you're talking, what, a storm that affected along the order of 10 to 12 miles of diameter, you know? Total impact, if you go all the way from like IP down to Gulf Breeze. Might be a little off on my math there, but I think you're roughly in that vicinity. This is like 50 miles of diameter. This is like the whole western part of the state. It starts to make sense why they'd put up a sign on their reader boards on their interstates that say, don't drive in western North Carolina. Like, there's nowhere to go. You know, you had deputies get killed in the water. You had people getting rescued off of, hospital rooftops. You had people climbing up to their roofs and I'm sure dying on their roofs or in their attics, you know. Just, this was... really, really bad. And I guess I explained it last hour. I'll explain it again in just a second. But, you know, how this can happen, it's, you know, even with 30 inches of rain, you say, well, 30, who drowned in 30 inches? Well, I'll explain in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, except if you're headed to Highway 29 on I-10 eastbound, starting to see some congestion delays almost backed up to the Pine Forest exit, which that has its own construction zone. Let's see here. Olive and Davis, seeing some backups on Davis heading southbound. So just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Somebody here says they part of I-26 reopened late last night. I had friends who were stranded in Burnsville. And by the way, Asheville's been getting a lot of focus, but I had a friend who's like, there's little towns north of there that aren't getting the attention, but they got nothing. They've been wiped out. I mean, there's no food, there's no water, there's no, you know, electricity, there's no cell service, there's no way in or out of there to get stuff into them. You know, people are stranded there like it's Katrina. Like, this is Katrina in North Carolina, you know? And somebody else said, hey, as much as this is awful, don't forget the bad things happened here in Florida, you know, the Big Bend area, Suwannee, all the way down to Tampa. You had, you're right, you're absolutely right. One difference is that we have a state that's accustomed to handling these problems, and we are handling ours so well, not to underemphasize the importance here, but we're actually sending resources to there. You know, the governor actually yesterday, he was at a, you know, kind of a barbecue where he was feeding people, but also talking to the press just a little bit afterwards. And he's like, we're sending helicopters, Chinooks. We got, you know, State Guard, National Guard, FDLE, FDOT for bridge and road inspections. And we're sending dozens and dozens and dozens of people to North Carolina because it's so much worse there than it is here, including the possibility of how to rescue some of our citizens who are trapped there, who are stranded there, which is an amazing thing to think about. One of the things, I don't know. Somebody texted in last hour. They really appreciated this explanation, so that's the only reason I'm giving it. I hate to repeat myself. I just do. I always feel, like, embarrassed to repeat myself. But if it's a good point, I guess it's worth making again. If you get 30 inches of water across a whole area, or even if you get 24 inches of water across a whole area, you might think, well, who drowns in 2 feet of water? Okay, yes. But when it hits varied terrain, it gets shoved into the low-lying areas. It goes from the hill down into the rivers. So if you have, let's say, I don't know, a mile, you know, not even a mile, let's take some smaller area. If you've got 1,000 feet wide area of terrain of, you know, hills and valleys, okay, and you get 2 feet of rain, okay, and the river at the bottom of that 1,000 feet, okay, is 50 feet wide. Okay, so that's a 20-to-1 ratio, 1,000 feet, 50 feet, a 20-to-1 ratio. And you got 2 feet of rain, now you've got 24 feet of rain in the river. Because as the water falls, it collects down into the low-lying areas, and then it's flowing. And, of course, the power of flowing water at speed flowing downhill, not just storm surge coming in at the speed of a storm, but, like, flowing down river, picking up speed, accelerating, going through just carving everything out rapidly. That's the problem. The same thing in reverse when you have storm surge into an area, like pushing up into a bayou. It's one thing to have a foot or two or three of storm surge, but then when it the geography funnels the water into a smaller area and you can get 10 or 20 or 30 feet into that area, sort of pressurized by what's behind it pushing it forward, like that's why you get so much damage. Or that's that can be why you get so much damage. So it's really, really bad. 720 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I hate to say it, but one of the byproducts of dealing with storms like this is that they're going to be storm-damaged cars that wind up on the market. You all know that. That's why going forward from now, it's really important to make sure that you get a good quality used car, a good used car inspection if you're buying from a corner lot, or just buy from a reputable dealer who will stand by their product. Frontier Motors, of course, will stand by their product and warranty it up to 100,000 miles, and they will take care of you, make sure that the cars are safe. But, you know, we're going to be dealing with this in the market. Prices are going to go up most likely because cars have been damaged and destroyed, and they're going to become scarce, and some are going to go back on the market that were storm damaged. You just want to make sure that, you know, protect yourself, be smart, right? And Frontier Motors is the kind of place where they can take care of you, stand by their product. They've been here for more than 25 years. They're going to be here, and they want to sell you not just your next car, but all the cars you ever buy. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Did you know that the displaying of the Ten Commandments in our public schools was outlawed in large part because of a 1980 Supreme Court decision known as Stone versus Graham? And because of this extraction, most Americans are not familiar with the specific content of the Ten Commandments. I encourage you to read Exodus chapter 20. These commandments serve as a divine blueprint for a civilized society. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 1, God makes it very clear that these commandments came from Him and not from Moses or from any man. And the only man who ever walked the earth who kept the commandments flawlessly was Jesus of Nazareth, the God-man himself. As we endeavor to be submissive to these commandments, we must rely completely on Christ's power to overcome sin and temptation. I urge you, walk with Jesus today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9 right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I've got to tell you, first of all, you look marvelous. He does. Up close is something different. It's the makeup, the, you know, it's just marvelous.
morning, 7:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickett's got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now, but we are seeing some major delays on I-10 eastbound, backed up all the way to Pine Forest. You're going to see through that construction zone heading toward 29, and then at the construction zone at 29, about a 20-30 minute delay there. Also, if you're heading southbound on Highway 29 to 9 Mile, you're going to see some major congestion issues there. Other than that, traffic's rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, we did get a note in here. Thanks so much, John. Did get a note in here from somebody who apparently lived in the area from Knoxville. Said the same thing happened in the late 90s, early 2000s. 26 and 40 were closed for extended periods of time. The traffic had to be rerouted up to Virginia and back down into Carolina, Charlotte area, or down to Atlanta and around. They didn't want a lot of traffic on the smaller roads like 441 and 129 I was telling you about. He says he guarantees, or she, I don't know, guarantees they'll have these roads open sooner than September of 2025. Talked to contractors late last night, and they've already been contacted by TDOT, Tennessee Department of Transportation, for a plan to fix the bridges. I hope so. I do. I hope so. And, you know, these may be pessimistic projections, but, man, scary stuff to imagine that long. But the problem is, like, if you get 20 miles worth of I-40 is wiped out, or, you know, wiped out enough, you can't even get the heavy machinery in to fix that segment until you fix this segment enough to have another heavy machinery, you know, like, and somebody else said the president should order in the Navy. The Navy supplies ships via air support all the time, you know, with helicopters. Let's get some stuff up into these people and don't wait on the roads to get the semi-trailers up in there. No, I agree. I don't know what the president's doing exactly. Meanwhile, there was football over the weekend. And I would be very remiss if I didn't tell you about what might have been one of the greatest football games I have ever watched. And it did not start off as a great game. It started off as a total blowout by Alabama over Georgia.
Milroe around left end. Touchdown, Alabama. What an opening drive as they overcome their mistakes to draw first blood.
7-0 Alabama.
Motions to the near side. Milroe looking for him on a wheel route on a dime. The Tide.
14-0 Alabama. Alabama then with the, Georgia's got the ball.
Another third and long for Georgia.
Tide showing pressure and they bring it. Ball out quickly. It is intercepted. Picked off by Damani Jackson, the transfer from USC.
First pick of the year against Carson Beck, so not looking good. And, of course, they turned that into
Haynes to Milroe's left. Bernard comes in motion, gets the football, gets a block on the edge, turns the corner, touchdown Tide, 3-3.
21-0 at this point, and that's only the first quarter. Then Jalen Milroe, the quarterback, a keeper on 4th-and-1 that turns into more than that.
Need about a half yard here on 4th. Milroe, keeper. First down and more. Tight roping down the sideline. Touchdown.
Okay, so it was 28-0, and then Georgia got an interception. They got the ball. Yeah, that's right. Georgia intercepted the ball with about 2 minutes to go, and they managed to turn that into a safety. it was 30-7 at the half. And then Carson Beck has a 12-yard touchdown to Aaron Smith, so it's 30-15. And then Georgia gets a short pass, then it's 33-21. And then Georgia gets another touchdown, Dylan Bell, 3 yards.
He's the back. End around. Bell breaks into the end zone. Georgia very much alive.
So it's 33-28 at this point. And if you're an Alabama fan, you're like, oh, we got this. And if you're a Georgia fan, you're like, you don't got nothing.
We don't need to play urgently here. But he's looking to throw that downfield. Has a man wide open. Dylan Bell's got it. A foot race. Spins free and scores. Can you believe it? Georgia has the lead. 67 yards.
67 yards. They came all the way back to make it 34-33. And they failed on the two-point conversion. Alabama, 2 minutes left to go in the game. Next play. So they just lost the lead for the first time in the game. Alabama, next play from the 25.
There's a lot of calm and command from Milroe at the start of this game. He's got to have it right now. And they take a downfield shot. And the catch is made. It's Ryan Williams, still spinning free. Touchdown, Alabama, the answer in one play. 75 yards for the 17-year-old. Are you kidding us?
He's unbelievable.
Ryan Williams is unbelievable. Spins, catches, beats another defender, all of that. And then with just about 40 seconds left to go, Georgia has a chance because it's Carson Beck.
Georgia 20 yards away. Beck launches for the end zone. Jump ball. They're intercepted. And Xavien Brown, the freshman, makes a game-saving play for Alabama.
Turns around, sees the ball, reaches across the wide receiver and catches an incredible ball, and Alabama wins. I mean, an unbelievable football game.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Rescue and recovery operations are underway across the southeast after Helene left destruction across five states. President Biden, Vice President Harris, former President Trump, all planning to tour the devastation.
Trump is expected to deliver remarks and give out relief supplies in Georgia. Meantime, Harris is cutting her trip in Nevada short, heading to D.C. this morning to get federal briefings on Helene. She says she, too, wants to visit the affected areas as soon as possible.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, at least 99 deaths are reported, and after killing the leader of Hezbollah, Israel is turning up the heat on its enemies.
Hassan Nasrallah may be dead, but Israel's campaign continues. The head of the Lebanon-based militant group Hezbollah was killed in a massive airstrike in Beirut on Friday. Since then, Israel has continued its assault across Lebanon.
Fox's Jonathan Savage, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 68 degrees, a beautiful sunny morning here in Pensacola today. Well, it was busy over the weekend in downtown Pensacola. The Seafood Festival was going on.
We estimate that we get about 20,000 or so people a day. So, you know, when we've got great weather like this, we're expecting at least 80 to 90,000 people to visit us.
That is Fiesta Pensacola director Bridget Middleton. She tells Channel 3 the event brings millions of dollars into the local economy, especially downtown Pensacola. There were more than 170 artists on hand, at least 50 food vendors. Of course, there was also music, three bands a day through the duration of the Seafood Festival. A semi-truck driver has died after an accident in Santa Rosa County over the weekend. That happened on Sunday on I-10 East, about 7 miles to the east of the Highway 87 exit. FHP says the truck crashed into the woods and then caught on fire. Investigators do believe the driver was trapped inside of the burning truck. The interstate was closed for a brief time on Sunday due to visibility issues from the smoke and concerns for the safety of first responders. FHP still investigating that crash. NAS Pensacola Chief Petty Officer Bree Kuhn was found guilty of her husband's murder. Back in September of 2021, she was in court last Thursday where she was found guilty of first-degree premeditated murder and sentenced to life in prison. Governor Ron DeSantis says FEMA has now approved a major disaster declaration for 17 Florida counties. He also said since Hurricane Helene's landfall, urban search and rescue teams have saved 13 people in the state. The Florida National Guard has saved over 150 people and over 50 animals. Meanwhile, work continues to restore power. As of earlier this morning, there were still about 130,000 people without electricity. If you're looking for a new career in the medical field, you might want to look into Escambia County EMS. They're now offering a $10,000 sign-on bonus for qualified applicants. EMS says that they have several positions open right now that do come with benefits, such as competitive wages, shift differentials, retirement, and more. Applicants need to have a high school diploma or GED, complete a paramedic program, and have a valid paramedic certification, as well as a driver's license. You can get more information on those jobs online at myescambia.com. A Pensacola man is dead after a motorcycle crash on Beverly Parkway. That happened Sunday evening at the intersection with Rock Island Place. FHP says the rider was headed west when a sedan driven by a Pensacola man pulled out in front of the motorcycle. The rider died at the scene of the crash. The driver and passenger in the sedan were taken to the hospital with minor injuries after the crash. FHP says charges are pending in the case. And, well, here we go again. Forecasters tracking another area of interest in the Western Caribbean Sea and the Gulf. The National Hurricane Center giving this low-pressure system now about a 50% chance of developing over the next week. If that develops, it's expected to gradually move into the Gulf, although it's still too early to have any information on a potential storm track or anything of that nature. The National Hurricane Center also watching two active storms, Hurricane Isaac and Tropical Storm Joyce. Neither of those pose a threat to land, and Tropical Depression 12 in the Atlantic Basin also expected to develop but not pose a threat to the Gulf Coast. 735 right now at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Still no accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling I-10 eastbound through that construction zone starting around Pine Forest, heading all the way down through Highway 29, you're going to see some major delays. I'd say about a 25-30 minute delay there. Also, if you're traveling either north or southbound on Highway 29 around 9 Mile Road, you're going to see some major delays on that one also. Other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We do have plenty of sunshine in store for today with a high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. Sunny skies continue for that Tuesday, high near 86. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping back into the 60s. As we go into Wednesday, that sunny pattern does continue, high near 86, low near 69. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it's 67 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, 68 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Frozen pizzas by Missouri restaurant Katie's Pizza and Pasta will be available for purchase in Walmart locations next year. According to the press release, Katie's is the only restaurant of its size that makes pizzas and pastas by hand for retail. The products will be in Walmart stores starting mid to late 2025. Thousands of listeners were left without access to music and podcasts yesterday after music streaming service Spotify was down temporarily. More than 40,000 people reported outages with the music platform on downdetector.com. Services have since been restored. About 6,300 employees on the University of Pittsburgh's main and branch campuses are joining the United Steelworkers Union. Officials have confirmed it. The union will work to secure a collective bargaining agreement between the workers and Pitt, Western Pennsylvania's largest university. Futures are slightly lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 137. That's Your Money Now.
Seeking the pulse of economic strength?
The Port of Pensacola is more than a name. It's the driving force behind Northwest Florida's progress. Home to over 20 major businesses, from Cemex Materials to General Electric Wind Energy, and now the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, they've been a catalyst for prosperity and growth. Ready to shape the future? Visit portofpensacola.com and discover how they power the region's success.
At the height of hurricane season, are you sure your data is backed up? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. Hurricanes can cause severe damage to buildings and IT infrastructure. Test your backups now to ensure your access in an emergency. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Hurricane Helene threatens the Gulf Coast.
Hurricane warning all along Apalachicola and the Big Bend area.
When you need to know.
I just saw something flash across the screen that there's a tropical storm warning for South Walton County.
When warnings go up, News Radio 92.3's full team coverage goes into overdrive.
Helene has a different story for everybody. Storm surge 20 feet around Cedar Key.
Hurricane season is not over yet. When you need to know. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead.
Good morning, 7:38 here on News. Sorry, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Michelle Salzman is our state representative for District 1. That is the northern gosh, 90% of Escambia County. I was thinking of it as the northern half, but, you know, it's really a lot when you look at it geographically. We're just population dense on the south end. Michelle, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. So what I intended to talk about, we will, but we also, you have been over in the Big Bend area, and I want to talk about your experience working on hurricane relief. Before we get to that, the reason I had texted you yesterday to see if you wanted to come on and talk about was your opinion piece you had in the PNJ that essentially says that we ought to have driver's education as a mandatory course in all of our high schools. Because, good Lord, kids can't drive. I know that's a short summary of your piece, but that's basically the thrust of it, right?
Yeah, you could say that. And a lot of conversation I've been having across the state is, listen, it's not even just about the kid knowing how to get from A to B. Those driving courses teach defensive driving.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we have near misses as adults. We go, oh, my gosh, that idiot. Just pull up for me. Oh, my gosh. You know, because we're trained skilled drivers. Most of us are because we have experience. And so when you take that driver's test in your basement or in your bedroom with your best friend giving you answers, you're not necessarily getting the same instructional experience that you would get in a classroom. And so we know that we would be saving lives, not just kids' lives, but also the lives of other drivers. And you know, the opinion piece is more of a vision, obviously, or not obviously, if you don't know, listeners don't know, we are not going to be able to mandate driver's ed for every youth driver going into, you know, into a car. Not yet. We are looking at a step scenario. I've been meeting with the chancellors because the secretary, Manny Diaz, was like, hey, great idea, Salzy. Let's figure this out. And I was like, oh, great. He goes, by the way, go in this conference room. I have everybody waiting for you. I was like, okay, so we're doing it. But truthfully, every single person I've spoken to about this, not a single one has said, well, that's a bad idea. Not a single teacher has said, well, I don't think that's good. And even in that room of chancellors, all former principals, they were literally tears in their eyes sharing individual stories about how they lost a student in high school from driving, whether it was a drunk driver where they didn't drive, you know, they didn't know how to react, or it was themselves where they were distracted or whatever. So it's just an excellent idea. And I can't even take credit, to be honest. This came from Martha at Eagles Talon, who runs something called ABATE, which is a motorcycle safety organization. And then Scott Lunsford at, you know, everybody knows Scott, the tax collector, because he's like, man, these kids don't know how to drive anymore. We need driver's ed back. So my friends always have the best ideas, and I try to get them through. But I'm really grateful that the News Journal published that, so we can bring conversation and just
Absolutely.
Really discuss it, because we're looking for creative ideas, which we have some creative ideas, but we're looking for creative ideas to implement it as big as possible.
Because
get this across the line.
You know, it seems to me like the way the law ought to be written, if I'm writing it, and you will help write it, is that you can't get a license until you're 18 unless you've gone through an official driver's ed course. You know, and then, you know, that's not a mandate for every student, but that is a way of highly incentivizing it, right? Because you're exactly right that getting them from, you know, zero to really safe through experience. I mean, I can't imagine where I would have been as a young driver. And we were all bad drivers when we were young, but how much worse would we have been if we had not had driver's ed? And this is what I don't understand is when did we abandon driver's ed in school? Because that was so normal for us growing up, but now it's not even in school. When did that happen? Do you know?
So we were discussing that. We don't know why. We don't know why it was taken away as a requirement. And we didn't really dive into the why. We just stopped right there and said, well, nobody knows why, because it makes sense to have it. Let's figure out how to do
it. So weird.
I can tell you that we have a lot of people. We even have driver's ed in Escambia County. We have driver's ed. It is offered in summertime. Keith Leonard loves the idea, too, but I promised him, not that he, you know, demanded, but I did tell him, listen, we're looking at creative ways. We don't want to pull away from instructional time. We just keep piling on the mandate in the district, you know, across the state. Now you got to teach financial literacy. Now you got to, you know, and yes, we should be teaching those things, but we have to be cognizant. There's only so much time in the day, so we have to take care of our teachers and that instructional time. So where we've landed, should anybody be curious where we're at currently, and it can change, we want to do it after school. Like you would do a band or a book club or a, you know, beta club or, you know, language, whatever. We want to try to do it an after school program. All the school districts do it, and not just one time, because like right now we have a driver's ed in Pensacola. You can't get in.
Yeah.
But, you know, that we don't have, there's not enough space, and we're only teaching a handful of kids compared to the hundreds that are getting, or probably thousands getting those driver's license each year. So we're looking at doing it as an after-school thing so we don't interrupt instructional time. And we're potentially, we're looking at, and it's my idea, so parents, you can kill me later, but I think it should be self-pay. So if it costs the district $300 to do a class for you where you actually get to get in the car and do drive time and all the things that are meaningful, well, then you should pay, like you pay for band or you pay for whatever. And that might not be where we land, but that's kind of where I landed initially, because the speaker Desmond Perez, he and I were talking about it too. He said, Salzy, what about the fiscal? And I said, I we're all concerned because our budget, even though we have a lot of money, if you look at the forecast, we're going to be negative money if we keep spending the way we spend. So we will have to address all of this, and we certainly don't want to add a new program like this and then take away so much money. But
well, I agree with you. I mean, the time, both instructional time and also the cost. But if you think about it the other way around, how much money are parents going to be spending on insurance increase, on car costs for the kid?
Yes.
You know, and that's, they're not paying that yet. You know, and so there is a sense that, well, you know, $300 is pretty cheap to be able to get a kid a lot of safety instruction, which is ultimate. This is not about some kind of a mandate. It's really about making our roads safer for our kids and for the rest of us. That's why I so completely agree with you about this. Hang on for just a second. We're talking to Michelle Salzman, our state representative for District 1. We got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. If you're traveling I-10 eastbound from 9 Mile all the way through Highway 29, you expect about a 25-30 minute delay there. Also, Highway 29 south of 9 Mile, we're seeing some major delays there. So just pack your patience. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Michelle Salzman, our state representative for District 1. Now, I know you're good friends with Bob Johnson. In Santa Rosa County, they do this really good defensive driver training program that you just can't get in because there's so much demand in so little spots. Anything like that would also, of course, be super helpful. I know a lot of that would be taken care of in a driver's ed course. But even so, you know, what they do is above and beyond. One last quick thing before we get to the subject of the hurricane that I wanted to mention is I don't feel like I really understand how the average 16 to 18 year old becomes a driver these days. Like I taught my two, or I'm teaching one, I taught one of the other ones, but because they were homeschooled, but I literally, like, how do you become a driver when there's no driver's ed? You know, like it's a weird problem, right?
Yeah. And that's the question that is the question at hand. And that's the question that organizations like ABATE and people like Scott Lunsford are asking.
Yeah.
These kids are coming in with driver's licenses. They have no actual practice. The parents, you know, give them keys, say, okay, drive. And then are they doing enough? Like there's not even, to our knowledge, recommendations to parents. Okay. You should do this with your kids this often, or, you know, it's just more like a free for all. We do have the test you have to take, you know, and then you go in and you get your permit and you do have to pass the same test that you had to pass 20, 30 years ago. But we all took that test. You're driving in circles for a couple of minutes. You have to stop at stop signs.
Nothing.
They're very minimal. Which, you know,
you get a it's harder to get a boater's license.
I was literally just about to say, if you were to go get a boater license or a scuba license, you would fail at it because you're required to have so much instructional time. That's so funny.
Okay.
I was literally going to say that.
Sorry to steal your line. No, but it's true. So, well, I'm with you, and I will advocate for it, and we'll talk about it more as we get closer to session and all that. But, you know, I wanted to let people know that you had written that piece, and I wanted to bring some attention to it because I'm kind of dumbfounded that we're where we are. You know, and that we haven't been thinking more about how did we get here and how can we make it back to where, you know, they have better experience. I did want to talk for a minute at least about your experience at Big Bend because you were there. You were there yesterday and you just got back last night and you're going back again, what, tomorrow? Is that right?
Yeah, probably early in the morning. I partner with the other lawmakers and all across the state. We have needs, as you know, all across the West Coast. And we've partnered, we're doing it regionally. So I'm running region one, you know, this region of all the way to the Big Bend. And then we have other folks that are the point people for the other regions in the state. But for us, we're Big Bend And, you know, I've been through so many of these, and I always go help in disasters. It's just part of who I am. And every time I go there, I'm like, oh, no big deal. I'm so used to this. And then the first hug comes and they're crying and you're just like, oh, my God. And then the emotions come and you just feel so like you're there, like you're a part of it. I mean, it just overwhelms you and then you feel so compelled to do more. And but they're very grateful to see us. You know, when I got there, we were 48 hours in past the storm. And if y'all can remember, Ivan, 48 hours past the storm, you still couldn't drive down 9 Mile. I hear you can't drive down it today. Go ahead and blame me. It's okay. It's my road. But it's just an overwhelming feeling of everything is gone. But within 48 hours, we've cleared all the roads. You know, the guardsmen have been phenomenal. We're able to get to the homes and really see and assess the damages and the casualties. And, you know, the first call to action I had was hygiene items and cleaning supplies. We brought it was probably closer to $10,000. I was trying to be really moderate in my number when I posted about it. But we brought a truckload of items and we delivered it from Jefferson County all the way down. So we stopped in different areas and gave them what they requested. And then I got a call to action on the way home last night. And they were like, we're going to open school soon. We need school supplies and kids clothes. We these kids literally have nothing. And I was like, okay, when do you need it? And they said, we want to open the distribution Wednesday morning. And I was like, okay. All right. So today,
let's go home and do some work.
But it looks worse than, you know, what you imagine. You know, you see it on TV, mm-hmm. but when you're in person and you see the bill, I was driving down the interstate. Or not the interstate, it's a main highway, and a half of a house was on the side of the road, but there were no houses within a half a mile. Like, there were no houses in it. So somehow or another, a part of a house was in the middle of the road. Mm. I mean, there were linemen. I mean, I have never seen so many power lines down, and I talked to other guardsmen and FDLE, and they all said the same thing. Like, we've never seen this much damage with our trees, but it's just all the way down, like for an hour straight, you're driving, it's trees down every, like, you know, 25 yeah. feet on top of the power line. So just linemen all the way down, you know, pulling the trees off, restoring power. But it's inspiring and sad at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'm honored to go and help and support. But lucky for me, I have the time, you know, because I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the
it
things
blows my mind. It blows my mind.
One
but
of the things,
do, that, you know, Andrew, you're the same way.
Never do anything. I did want to say one of the things I've been featuring this morning is that as bad as it has been in Florida, of course, we're all watching North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee. And, you know, the fact that the governor is sending resources to another state because we know how to do this and we know
right.
how bad their situation is really a statement of how bad it is there and how much we are able to. Nobody thought this was coming to North Carolina. I mean, despite all the warnings that we all kind of saw might have, they didn't understand what was going to happen at all. And so I appreciate that. I certainly appreciate all the work. Just a couple of notes. I had a bunch of texts come in and I wanted to let some people, somewhat they said, several people, we love her. She's the best. Thank you. Somebody says, please tell her to look at the Texas teen driving model. Somebody else says Tate actually has high school driving during the school year. And somebody else had said here, I don't mean to open a can of worms, but they said, this is great. This is wonderful. What can you do about getting a mandatory driver's training course for senior citizens?
First of all, I wrote down all those notes, the Texas I will look at. And the Tate one might be the one that the superintendent said, we have this. So,
okay.
But Keith Leonard will be in lockstep. I will not file that bill without my superintendent going, okay, Michelle, we can do this.
Yeah.
I love Keith very much. But that's funny. I don't know about the mandatory elderly. I love that. But I'm one of those. I'm like an actual, like, super conservative. So I don't believe in government mandates. And so even this conversation is really hard for me. But I mean, our babies are dying. I have people dying in my district, people dying in all across the state. And how can we help these kids? How can we make the roadway safe? How can we make the walkway safe? So just trying to find reasonable guidelines and structure for these babies so they grow to be great drivers. And, oh, and by the way, I want to go back to this, Andrew, because you hit on it. And this was our point, too. 300 and something. And this was a number we just came up with off the back of a napkin. It could be 200. It could be 100. But if you take $300 and you do that test or you do that class, within a couple of months, you will have saved that on your insurance. That the savings you get from that class is crazy big.
Oh, that's a great
on your
note.
Insurance.
Yeah. Because insurers know that that kind of classroom and applied experience is a big difference, just like we should as parents know that that will make a big difference in their safety when they get on the road. The last thing you want is, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-olds learning while everybody else is driving and they're on in. Yeah, I agree. And the savings, you're exactly right. That's a great point. And all of that. God, don't even get me started about the cell phone thing. You're exactly right about that, too. Michelle Salzmer, State Representative for District 1. Thank you for the piece in the PNJ. Thank you for talking with me about it this morning. Thanks for what you're doing for the Big Bend area and keeping us informed. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. John's got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We've got an accident on West Fairfield in Fernwood Avenue. It's a vehicle crash with injuries, so it's causing some major backups on Fairfield. I-10 eastbound again from 9 Mile all the way down through Highway 29 and past that. We're seeing some delays in that construction zone. Still seeing some delays if you're headed from Pace into Pensacola on Highway 90. Seeing some major backups there just congestion-wise. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
It's hurricane season, and when a storm threatens our region, News Radio Pensacola has complete around-the-clock coverage you can count on. Our award-winning news team will be tracking the storm's every move, providing regular updates on the storm's path, intensity, and potential impacts. You can listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
This hurricane information is brought to you by DeFranco Gas. Get your home or business storm ready. Install or maintain your generator with DeFranco Gas. DeFranco Gas does all things gas.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's, Atlas Beverage Class, Harvest Dinner at Angelina's, flavors that forge the South Dinner at Jackson's, holiday parties, free martinis at Jackson's, and more. That's all Wednesday at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
You are the Borg. You will be assimilated. Resistance is futile.
Oh my God, John, is that true? You were telling me that to get a driver's license today, you don't even go out on the road?
No, you don't.
Shut up. Come on.
You do not.
You don't have to go out and drive with a person in parallel park and drive at 40 and show you can change lanes and use your turn signal.
My son just went through it.
It's like we've abandoned the idea of making people be capable of driving.
You're right.
Good Lord. And I always thought that even on the old standards, our system was soft. Like the European system, you fail two or three times before you get your license because you got to be good. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
That all answers so many questions I had.
Gosh, you wonder why people are bad drivers.
President Biden will be visiting areas hit by Hurricane Helene when it does not disrupt emergency operations. The White House didn't give a specific day for the visit, but said it would be sometime this week.